I'm Jordan.
And I'm Rosanna.
And on this podcast, we explore how to take life off autopilot
and relentlessly pursue a life worth living
together.
Well, hello, and welcome to Season 3, Episode 5 of the Relentless Pursuit Podcast, The Enneagram and Understanding Yourself. So, about 3 years ago now, someone had asked me what my Enneagram type was. And I kind of looked at them and I said,
bless you.
Yeah.
Kissing tape.
I had no idea what they were talking about. And they talked about the Enneagram, which was a type of personality test to kind of help you understand yourself a little bit better, like what some of your traits are and what your strengths and weaknesses are, for the purpose of kind of growing and understanding how you relate to other people.
Right, so that used to be a question sometimes, right? Like back in the day, someone would say, what's your type? And they were really asking you like what kind of person you're attracted to, right?
Oh yeah. What's your type? Tall, dark, and handsome.
Right. So now when someone asks you, what's your type? That's not what they're asking.
No, they're asking you about you and your personality. I think like I remember in college, right? There was like types like INJF or like a leadership quality kind
of. TTMSQR.
Yeah. It was something like that.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of like personality tests and ways to try to categorize and describe ourselves over the years. So this is one that's been popular for a really long time. Its origins, I understand, are just unknown and ancient in a sense. But it's had a popular resurgence over this past generation too.
But 3 years ago when I read the book and then I was like kind of learning about my type. And then I remember telling you like, oh, I think you're this type. And I think our kids might be that type. And you just looked at me with your kind of Jordan-esque disapproval.
Go ahead. Arrogance. Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah. And was like, that's like a horoscope. Like maybe it's right. Maybe it's not. Like that could be true about anybody. And you kind of just brushed it off.
Right. And I do have skepticism about most things that are new. And a friend even reintroduced us to the idea of the Enneagram as well. And it was interesting because that was my reaction as well. Like you can kind of read a description and it's relatively easy to write a description that most people can look at and say, yeah, like that fits me. And that's where the popularity of horoscopes comes in. So for fun, just as we get into this episode, I went ahead and I looked up the horoscopes for both of us today.
Oh, well, that's
this
fun.
This doesn't really have much to do with what we'll get into with the Enneagram. But for fun, since we never actually look at our horoscopes, I thought it would be good. So do you want yours first?
Go sure.
We'll go with you first.
Sure.
You are a Sagittarius.
I am.
All right. So as of today, it says you may be touched by a person.
Not the kind of touching you're thinking of.
Well, it's all about how you interpret it. You may be touched by a person who exudes the kind of determination produced by a combination of spiritual and intellectual strength and faith. This is what is meant when people speak of a leader of great integrity. The encounter with this person is likely to inspire you to commit yourself wholeheartedly to some good work, perhaps a charity. So brace yourself, Rosanna. You're going to be inspired today.
Okay, now I'm waiting for someone to knock at the door and inspire great things for the day.
All right, so here's mine. Being a Capricorn, have a different horoscope. It says, have you been lethargic lately? No. If so, today is your wake-up call. Oh, good. You will be alert and clear about the task at hand. You understand that your help is urgently needed and that there's no time to waste. You can expect to pour a great deal of energy into a single, well-defined goal today. Okay. Looking forward to that. That might be a first, but okay. All right. So these are kind of exciting. They're captivating. And in a sense, you can take this as personally as you want to.
Yeah. I mean, I just felt completely confused by hearing it. But if we're thinking about this as opposed to the Enneagram, which we have been looking at the last few days together, and you getting to know it, you can obviously see there's a great difference between something that seems rather random and could or could not apply to anyone than what the Enneagram is trying to do.
Yes. And so I wanted to present those horoscopes as a way to just demonstrate to our listeners that the Enneagram is different. I would say that I was a Enneagram skeptic in a sense, but that's before I even like looked into it. Once I examined it a little bit, I can see that there is substance and value there. Although I think my view of it now is still a little bit different than yours. And we'll get into that when we talk about our types.
Yeah. Well, I think the whole point of it is it's to help you recognize like patterns in your personality. And it's really trying to pair nature versus nurture. So like the environment in which you were raised coupled with the unique set of traits that you're born with. And so, right, like what you're naturally born with and what I'm naturally born with may be similar, may be different. And those are cultivated different ways growing up. And so, you know, I think we spend a lot of our lives unsure of who we really are. And we talked about this with the stories we tell ourselves, where it's like, this is what people have told you you are. This is maybe the story that you've ascribed to based on different experiences. But I feel like in the last 2 to 3 years, like I've come into my own in understanding a little bit more about who I am, what makes me tick, what stresses me out, what I need from people, even what I need from myself. And so things are making more sense to me about like who I see I am and where I see I'm going. So I feel like something like this can help me feel more secure in like naming what I need, but also realizing some of my weaknesses too.
Yeah.
And so it's funny, like when I read some of the weaknesses of my type, I can't identify with them. And I don't think that other people maybe identify the same way that I do. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice to be able to kind of put a name to those things and to understand. And then if you're reading the book and the types and you kind of see what my weaknesses are, like it helps you understand how to better love me and how to better care for me. And so I think that's really the whole point of this episode is like, we have to understand ourself. You know, they say that the most important relationship you have is with yourself. 5-10 years ago, I would have laughed. I'd been like, that's just garbage. Like, that doesn't even make sense.
It sounds silly. Yeah. And I think the way that we think about this now, like nowadays, as compared to just say like a generation ago, or even like when we were younger, you know, we're kind of interested in or asking ourselves questions as individuals, but I would even say like culturally too, that we would not have done in a previous era. And so I think that's in part like leads to the popularity of the Enneagram. And, but I think the popularity you can also ascribe to just that it is practical. It's not the end all be all of how you define yourself, but it is a tool for gaining insight into yourself and the important people in your life.
Yeah. So if you're listening, you know, this is the question I kind of have for you as we go into this is how would you describe yourself? You know, what are some of the words you would use to describe yourself? You know, do you know yourself as well as you say you do?
Yeah.
Right? Or do we look to the people around us to give us a more accurate depiction of maybe who we are? And maybe more importantly, like, are you the person your dog thinks you are? You know?
That's a high calling right there.
Well, you know, having a dog has changed my life. So that's, you know, that's what I got to live up to every day. Who does my dog think I am? But before we dive personally into, you know, who we are.
So we'll both talk about our types.
Let me just outline the basic types. And I won't even define them, but I'll just give you kind of a broad overview of what it is.
Okay.
There are 9 different types. And they say that you're not going to necessarily fit into just one type. They might say that you might touch upon a couple, but one is your dominant, and then they'll call like other ones your wings.
Your wings.
Your wings. What did I not say that?
Well, no, I'm just repeating.
Okay.
Your wings.
Just repeating.
So by wings, you mean like your.
You have like a dominant trait, and then you have these like other things you kind of like, like you lean into a little bit, where it's like you might mostly reside here, but you have traits of these other ones that stand out, that you're not just a mix of all of them.
Okay. So so that makes sense, and that acknowledges the complexity that is the human personality. I think I'm going to use the word like wing to describe a lot of things, like beyond Enneagram. I think I've told you this before. So I want to do like, what do you want for dinner? I'm like, about turkey, wing, cornbread.
Tacos, wing, french fries.
Yeah. Or I would like sex, wing, cuddling.
Oh, okay. Wow. There we go. Let me just name these types.
So I can name the dominant and the supplement areas of life. Okay. Go on.
9 personality types. Number 1, the reformer, which is also known as the perfectionist. So, you know, does that, you know, shout out to you that that's who you are.
All right, so these nicknames for these types are, these can change, right? Depending on who's defining it, who's writing it. But these are, in general, like the kind of generic one word descriptions.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. So type 1, the perfectionist. Type 2, the helper. Type 3, the achiever. 4, the individualist. 5, investigator. 6, loyalist. 7, enthusiast. 8, challenger. And 9, peacemaker. And then, we could probably talk about this for days. I mean, it's very intricate and you can get into a lot of other things. There's also like centers, like are you an instinctive person, a feeling person, or a thinking person? And then when they draw this out, it's certain numbers fall into each of these centers. Mm-hmm. And then there's a dominant emotion as well, which means when you cope with hard things, you either respond in one of these three ways. Is it like anger or rage? Is it shame or is it fear? Mm-hmm. So like, talks you through like how you lead. Is it like with your head, with your heart? And then how do you respond? Is it out of like anger, shame, or fear? And so like where your number is kind of might show you a little bit about how you respond to certain situations in your life.
Yeah. So this can become relatively complex relatively quickly, you know, if you want it to be, but it can also be at least like at first blush, like a really simple insight into some core elements of who you are.
Yeah. More of just a jumping off point for kind of understanding yourself a little bit better.
Okay.
So why don't you go first? Why don't you talk about, right? You took, in order to figure out your type, you basically can take a series of quizzes.
Yes.
So why don't you just talk about your experience and what you found and what it tells you?
Okay. So, like I said, I was a bit of a skeptic, and then I started looking into it a little bit more. And, you know, I think being able to say, like, I'm type 1 or I'm type 3, like, there's a certain security in that, because then you're defined, and it gives you a kind of this cozy box through which you can understand yourself. But I've taken 3 different quizzes, and each quiz yielded a different type for me that was dominant. So that's why I'm still on the fence with, like, you know, kind of declaring, like, I'm this type, or, you know, buying in too much to any single description. And even though the books that we looked at acknowledge, like, it's complicated. Like, you're a human being, you are complex. So it's really difficult to just categorize this into 9 flat distinctions. So the first kind of description that I had, the first quiz I took said I'm a type 5, which we'll talk about the most because that's what you see the most in me. But then the second one I took told me that I'm a type 9. And then the third one I took told me I'm a type 3. And I looked at the descriptions for those. And it's kind of interesting as you read these descriptions because there's definitely certain parts that you can relate to in these descriptions. And as I read the descriptions for 5 and 3 and 9, I'm like, oh yeah, like there's ingredients in each of these that I feel like are really true. And, you know, part of the reason why I do subscribe to this is because then I'd read the descriptions for like 1 and 2 and 4 and all the ones that I was not. And I'd be like, yeah, those are definitely not true about me. So it's almost like it's not you're 100% one type and then 0% all of the others. But I would say I'm like, 90-some% of 5 and 3 and 9, and then like very little percent of the other ones as well. So it's a mixture. I have a rainbow of types within me.
Well, and, I've known you a long time. So like, I think you're a very complex person and complicated in some ways. And there are things that I recognize about you that other people do not understand. My parents have known you as long as I've known you. And it's just interesting sometimes, like they don't get your reasoning or understanding behind some things. And I have to tell them like, well, this is what you have to understand. Like, this is the way he processes it. This is the way he comes to his end result. And so like, I've got to give him the time and space to figure that out or to articulate it himself. Even if I already know the answer, like I have to give that to him. Yeah. And sometimes when I don't give you those things, that's kind of where there's friction for us because I'm not allowing you to kind of be you in the process.
Yeah. All right. So I wrote down that it's, I'm a little muddled, but we'll go with type 5 here just as a discussion point. So I thought this was insightful, just like we've been saying, as a tool to understand ourselves, right? So
5 is the investigator.
5 is the investigator. Oh, or it depends on the, because I think this book said the observer.
Okay.
And I, the image that I got to my mind was when I was playing soccer growing up, when you're a little kid, there's no positions. Every kid just runs into a swarm to the ball. Except for me, what I would do, I didn't like the swarm. I would actually stand back like on the defensive side of the ball. And then I would be in a better position because then anytime the ball would get kicked out of the swarm, then I would be able to run to it without obstruction. And that's why even like my entire soccer playing career, I was on defense because I could stand back, look at the whole survey of the field, and then prepare and respond accordingly.
It's so funny to like even as a kid, like that was part of who you were.
Maybe.
Wasn't really.
It's more of an analogy than a definition. All right. So the investigator. I'm just going to. Where did you get this, by the way?
Babe, there's so many books and websites. So I just.
Okay. So we got this from one of those.
Correct.
Okay. All right. How to. Our investigators have a need for knowledge and are introverted, curious, analytical, and insightful. And so I would say, to some extent, like each of those are true.
I'd say to every extent, all of those are true.
I don't know. But introverted makes it seem, the descriptions I've read of fives are like, it's almost like the, your scientific introvert. And that's not quite me. I can be, you know, somewhat gregarious. I can be, you know, a leader.
he uses gregarious as the term to define him.
Oh God. Okay.
Yep.
Don't put me in a box.
Case in point.
All right. Anyway, how to get along with me. Be independent, not clingy. Okay. Yeah. Speak in a straightforward and brief manner. This sounds funny. Like, I need time alone to process my feelings and thoughts, I agree with, but
I know, but
I would define it differently.
Yes, you would define it differently, but I think the heart of the matter is still there.
It says, remember that if I seem aloof, distant, or arrogant, it may be that I am feeling uncomfortable. some of these are obvious, like make me feel welcome, but not too intensely, or I might doubt your sincerity. Like, couldn't anybody say that? Or if I become irritated when I have to repeat things, it may be because it was such an effort to get my thoughts out in the first place. Don't we all get irritated when we have to repeat things?
Some people will tell you the same thing over. No, see, that's why, like, that's, never mind. Everybody's different, honey. Not everybody is like you.
All right. I'm going to skip a few of these.
I mean, you could even read a better description from one of these books. Those I got from a website.
You can crack that one open. This one says pet peeves include big parties, which is not true. I love going to places and seeing people. Not enough of that these days. Other people's loud music. I think that would bother anybody. And it lists a few other things as well. But here's the biggest thing that I would say, and then you can go into what you find in that book too. But I think one of the things that I guess defines me as a five the most is really my desire to like step back and think and to plan before engaging. Because I've had a number of instances in life where I feel like I have engaged or responded too quickly before I really know what it is that I'm engaging with, and then acted erroneously in some way. And this is why, like, if I'm in a debate with somebody and they bring up a point that I had never considered before, like it really like knocks me onto my heels in a sense. And I want to go back and kind of just brood over it. You know, to what extent does this have merit? How do I fold this in with some of my other knowledge or preconceptions? And then I can proceed forward. So I think I have learned that being in a reactive position does not suit me very well. And I could certainly do it, but I think my biggest strength is being able to like take a step back, be an objective like student and observer, and really like make up my mind about the principle, the action needs to be taken, and then act with confidence from there. And so that is something I've learned about myself over the years. And I certainly have other qualities that go beyond that, but that's definitely something that I think has come out a lot.
All right.
So did you find something in there?
I couldn't find anything about five because I didn't know where to look. So I just marked where I need to be when I do mine. Do you want to pull yours up?
Okay. No, that's okay. Okay. All right. But we'll spotlight this book real quick. We actually have two books that we looked at, and then a wide range of online resources as well. This one is called The Enneagram and You. It is from 2020, and it's written by Gina Gomez. And this one is great because it is it talks about not just an individual, but how that individual like interacts with other people or other types as well. So we can look at the descriptions for how your type and my type interact in this book.
We can
enjoy that at the end.
All right. So do you want to just do like a little bit rundown on me and what my number is?
You want me to run down you?
No, I was going to run down.
You're going to run down yourself.
Yeah.
All right. What type are you, Rosanna?
Okay.
What's your type?
So I am type two, but I definitely have a three wing.
Okay.
So you feel like you...
I don't know what my wing is. I could probably look.
Well, maybe you're like 5 wing 9 or 5 wing 3.
I think your wing has to be a number next to you.
Next to yours.
So I'd be 5 wing 4 or 6.
Okay. So my dominant type is 2, which is the helper. If you're looking at the centers, like I'm in like the feeling center. So I don't like lead with like facts and whatever. Like there's something like I lead with like how something feels to me, like if it feels right or feels wrong or if I'm drawn to something. And it's interesting is that my dominant emotion for coping has more to do with shame than fear or anger. Mm-hmm. So it's just interesting when I'm like processing, like when I respond, what am I responding out of? It's probably this idea or notion that I'm not okay as I am, or I'm shamed about something I've done. And so that's the reaction kind of spurs from that. But number two, the nurturer, the definition is helpers are warm, concerned, nurturing, and sensitive to other people's needs. I just like the descriptions in this book better. So maybe I'll start with that.
Okay.
Especially two, wing three. Twos are strong. Three wings are charmers. They're very social, energetic, have a positive can-do attitude about life. They can enjoy being around others, offering support and encouraging those around them to see the bright side of life. They can be flirtatious and seductive and will usually be more extroverted than two wing ones.
Sounds about right.
How to get along with me? Tell me that you appreciate me. Share fun times with me. Take an interest in my problems, though I will probably try to focus on yours. Let me know I'm important and special to you, and be gentle if you criticize me. What do I like about being a two? Being able to relate easily to people and make friends. Knowing what people need and being able to make their lives better. Being generous, caring, and warm. And being sensitive and perceptive about others' feelings. Mm-hmm.
So you feel much more strongly about your type. Like you read all the other eight descriptions and you're like, this don't really fit me, but this two really does.
I think so.
I would agree with that too.
And I have characteristics of the perfectionist because I like things a certain way. And like, I like to follow the rules to like, know I'm doing it right. And it bothers me when I feel like I'm following the rules and it's not perceived as like I'm doing something right. Mm-hmm. But I also have some characteristics of the achiever. Mm-hmm. That I like to achieve, that I work really hard, that I'm independent, that I like to do things on my own. So I like to be a little autonomous. So, you know, there are things in there that really stand out that I can relate to. But even just this notion of wanting to be needed and putting other people's needs ahead of myself, that sometimes I don't know what I want because I'm too focused on worrying about what other people need.
Yeah. And there's a quote I saw somewhere, I don't remember where, that I think kind of puts a nice description to it. The quote is, I want you to be happy just so long as I'm the cause of it.
Which is weird.
Right. But I think that I see that play out in a lot of instances too, where you really do take great care of others and are very attuned to them in a way that even they're unaware of. And this is why I lean on you a lot to say like, okay, I'm kind of thinking through this relational concept or this element that we want to do in relation to another person, another couple. And you kind of have a better ear for it, but just kind of a better knack for deciphering the appropriate thing to say or the appropriate gesture to do in that circumstance.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot that like, I see the two, I can see it, but I do see like other things within the achiever, within the perfectionist that, you know, I have some of those qualities, but I mean, really I lead with kind of feeling and that's kind of like how I'm always there for others. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It reminds me of the great American classic film, Runaway Bride, featuring okay. Julia Roberts and Richard Gere. I think we saw this at the theater way back
way back, yeah.
Yeah. But we've talked about this before because it's about this bride who keeps leaving her grooms at the altar. And ultimately, it turns out that she's challenged with kind of a silly question, like, how do you like your eggs? And she doesn't know because she would just always say, I would just like my eggs, however, you know, whoever the current fiance was. And so at the end of the film, in this great, you know, climactic tearjerker moment, she makes all these different kinds of eggs and then tries them one by one to decide which one she actually likes. And we've talked about that about you too, because sometimes that's something that's lost along the way. Like a lot of times, and I make fun of you for this, but I ask you like, what do you want or what do you need? Or just a simple question, like, do you want to go to bed or do you want to watch TV? And all you do is repeat the question back to me. Like, what do you want to do? So what do you want to do right now? I don't know. What do you want to do? What do you want for breakfast? Or what do you want for breakfast? Or there's even simple things around the house too. So this is where it maybe is a little bit more challenging for you in a sense too, because you're totally the charmer and you know, the extrovert and so on. But like if I'm already like taking care of something around the house, like if I'm cleaning up the dishes from breakfast, you're like, oh, I'll take care of those. It's like I'm already 90% done and I'm in the middle of doing it like this second and you're sitting there peacefully. Like you can't leave well enough alone.
Oh, that's hard for me. Do you want to read the type 2 and type 5 together?
Okay. Yeah, I've read this and I think it's a little off, but go ahead. All right. So in this book, they talk about this is like the description of the relationship between a type 2 and a type 5.
Yeah, it talks about conflict resolution, living in harmony and challenges.
Okay.
Twos and fives have complementing strengths. Twos are in touch with their emotions and help fives bring theirs to the surface. Fives may be reserved with their feelings at first, but slowly, at their own pace, they'll feel safe enough to express how they feel with twos. When twos lean too heavily on their emotions, five can help them bring balance by displaying composure and steadiness. This pair may not immediately connect, but with time and patience, their relationship has the potential to grow into a tender friendship.
I'm enjoying my tender friendship with you.
But you said that you thought we kind of operate, but I mean, there's some truth to that in the, I'm more like feelings and emotion and you will like help bring me down and keep me level headed. And as shown a couple episodes ago, when you gave that beautiful definition of you're my person, you know, you led with feeling and emotion there when I didn't. And so a lot of times we can offset each other with those distinctions. But what did you like? You liked the comparison of me as a 2 and you as a 9. I don't know where that is. It's probably a little further in. But I mean, you felt like we were a little more dynamic and not just this, oh, over time, you know, we'll figure it out.
Right. It also says, this book also says elsewhere that type 2s and 5s are opposites. And it's like, well, opposites attract. And I'm like, we're really not that, we're not opposites by any stretch of the imagination.
In some ways.
But when I think of opposites, I'm thinking like two totally different things that somehow they, you know, they find each other and they make their differences work. And, you know, that, so I think that's a little extreme. But there's some other, I think more charming descriptions that are here as well. I think that there's maybe I'll find it a little bit later, but it talks about, so I looked at the combination of a type 2 with a type 3 and also with a type 9 as well. And at least according to this book, it talks about, I think the 2 and 3 combination describes us a little bit more accurately.
Okay.
But so here's the fallacy with this as well, is that when you take these quizzes, it can be difficult because the questions that are posed, you can answer them one of two ways. It could be the way that is 100% accurate, or it could be the way that you believe about yourself or wish about yourself, but is not as true.
Right. A little bit before we recorded, we pulled up a quiz and you read one of the descriptors and I said, well, how would you answer that? And you gave yourself like one rating and I was like, I didn't like... A lot we agreed on, but it's like, how do you perceive yourself and how do others perceive how you really are? And so there is this, you know, it's like when you take those quizzes in magazines when you're like a teenager, it's like, right. I'm going to put all B's because I want to be like what that type is at the bottom.
Turn out a certain type. Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, that's, I think one of the challenges is like, a lot of times now we're starting to step back and look at who we are and what we want, what our values are, like what direction we're headed. And so sometimes in our minds, we think or say that we're one way, but is that the truth? Is that the reality? And so I think that's what where conversations like this are important. So if you've never taken an Enneagram test or like you and your husband or your wife or your friends, like haven't done it together, like, you know, take a quiz together and see, like, would you answer the same way as you would like in front of your partner? Would they rate you somewhere else in a different category? And not because you need to be a certain type, but just to acknowledge like the nuances of your personality and like the nuances of your relationship.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it raises the question, are you the best person to determine your type, right? And I think to some extent, yes. Like you, once you really like think about and reflect on yourself, you know yourself pretty well. And could probably answer those questions very accurately. But I think it's interesting to compare the outcome that you have for one of those quizzes or one of those types to how someone who knows you pretty intimately would also do that. And so that's why when I look at this, I'm like, well, it's nuanced. I see a little bit of myself in this one and that one. And you seem pretty adamant. You're like, no, no, Jordan, you're a five. And so I take that really seriously. But like I would say with a grain of salt as well. And a grain of salt is small, but I do like kind of mix that in and think like there is nuance to it. I guess part of me too I'd say a little skeptical of being put in a nicely tied, box with a nice little bow on it. Because I mean, when you're dealing with human personality, it is complex. There's a lot of gray area. And, I think that if we're too quick to do that, then we may be missing out on other, potential strengths or just insights into ourselves. And if we do that for someone else, like if you see me only as one way, you may sort of like overcompensate with certain things that are maybe like, too much of, or, not the right, angle on what I may actually need in the relationship.
Yeah. And that's, where bias comes into play and being closed-minded is like, we picture people a certain way or they've been a certain way for so long. And so we lock them into that box or that type, but that doesn't mean that they have different parts of their personality that not that you haven't been privy to, but just that you haven't seen or, going from having no kids to then being a mom with kids, you undergo a lot of change and that changes who you are and maybe even, how you see yourself or how you relate to people. If I compared being a teacher before I had kids and then I went back in the classroom now having kids, mm-hmm. four very different kids with different personalities, like would I treat certain kids differently or have a little more empathy for like the kid who has a lot of energy and can't sit still and isn't quiet because we've got one of those, right. different things in people's lives slowly change them. And we have to be open to seeing that and realizing that and being able to relate to them, even if they've changed.
Yeah. So I think the idea is that like looking at Enneagram as a tool, and I would even say like it's a useful tool for understanding your own needs, understanding your partner's needs, but it's not necessarily the end of the story. And we're really just amateurs at looking at this. But even just the dabbling that we've done has led to some useful insights.
Yeah. So do you want to move to takeaways or is there something else within this conversation that you want to kind of share or explore?
I don't have any other questions. I guess actually the only other one that does come to mind, to be honest, is about kids. Like, can you use this to help you understand your own children better?
I think so. I think it kind of pairs with the love languages, just like, how your kids need to be shown love or express love. Like, this is something you can see about like their character, about maybe the way that they're viewing the world. And it can kind of help you understand maybe what they need. Mm-hmm. As you're reading the types, it's, you could see like, what did you say? You said Leo was what type?
A seven.
And the seven is, I forgot, the enthusiast. Mm-hmm. No surprise there.
Yeah. And so, but as I was reading that description, understanding our second child, like it really stood out. But I didn't get a strong sense of the other kids, like in reading those descriptions either. So I think the same thing, like I don't want to like leap to any conclusion as a five, would be prone to do. I don't want to leap to any conclusion and, too quickly just kind of label any of our kids, just like I wouldn't want to do that with you. But I do in the same manner. I'm like, just use this as a tool to maybe understand and gain some additional insights that I wouldn't have had if I didn't look into it.
Well, yeah. And I'm reading a book now about like being a boy mom, like what your sons need from you in a way to understand them better. Cause it's like being female and never having been a little boy, there's disconnects for me. So it's like, just using it as a tool to better understand them and their personality type, the way they perceive the world. Like, do they, move on feeling or thinking or instinct? Like, you can see those different ways that they act or interact, or when they're coping with something stressful, like, where is that coming from? Mm-hmm. And so it's just a way to to be better present for them and to understand them instead of just throwing my hands up in the air and being like, I don't get it. I don't know what to do with you. I don't know how to address it.
Right.
Like just really understanding where they're coming from.
Right.
So I think the biggest takeaway would be this, like, what are the benefits of knowing your Enneagram, mm-hmm. which is, you know, just another word for your personality type. And I think there are four different takeaways. And I think we've touched upon all of them. It's, you know, it's to promote your own self-awareness. Like you need to be aware of who you are, what you stand for, how you think. And it's really, like we said, comes from nature and nurture. Mm-hmm. You know, the things that you're kind of born with and then how you're raised and those values. And then so that you can learn how to love yourself. And so, you know, we talked about self-care and we've been talking about you're my person and loving others. And so like you have to learn how to love yourself for who you are. None of us are perfect. We have our flaws. We have our weaknesses. We have our strengths. So we have to kind of own those things about us. And then in those weaknesses, kind of understand how we can be better in those. And I think both of those things will allow you to improve your relationships with others as you start to, number four, boost your compassion for others. Mm-hmm. Maybe you will understand people differently after reading this. And if you can understand that they react in this way, for these reasons, like that might give you a better kind of toolkit to deal with people.
Right. I mean, if anything, it should open up our eyes to be like, okay, like this person is not the same as me. And so the reason why they're thinking differently or interpreting this differently or responding differently is because they are different. And the better that we could just acknowledge that those differences exist and then perceive what those actual differences are, that helps us, you know, interrelate to the other people in our lives better.
Right. We have these expectations for people because we think that they should do the
things. That's not how I see it. That's not what I would do.
Right. That's not what I would do. So if they're not doing it the way that I want them to do it, then it must be wrong. But it's not. It's just, it's what's right for them. And so just acknowledging that we are all different. We're wired differently. We interact differently. We need different things, especially at different times. Then it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, that's just them. And like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to like upset me.
Yeah. So good. So this is to quote Socrates. You know, he was a big proponent of saying, like, know yourself. And so this is a great step to do that, but also a really important tool for getting to know others as well.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, thank you for joining us this week. And hopefully you can use some of these tools, take a quiz with a spouse, do it with a friend, or even just kind of read up a little bit more about like who you are.
Yeah, we have a website with show notes for all of our episodes. So what we'd really like for you to do is to, when you take a quiz, just like Rosanna and I have been up front with our types and what we've learned about ourselves and one another, go ahead and leave a comment on the show notes for today so that we can see what other types of personalities are out there and what you're learning as you go.
All right. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for listening to today's show. We hope you will use this conversation as a starting point for your own. We hope you're encouraged to think and act more intentionally.
If you want to learn more, you can visit our website, therelentlesspursuitpodcast.com, where you can find notes on today's show, plus additional blog posts, and you can subscribe to our free members list.
Please subscribe, leave a review, and share with your friends.
Facebook and Instagram are two great places to connect with us for daily doses of our quotable quotes, behind the scenes, and real-time photos, videos, and challenges.
Until next time, let us know how you are taking life off autopilot.
And relentlessly pursuing what matters.